the Imperium of Mankind. The Imperium, at the dark advent of the Horus Heresy, was a colossal organization comprising trillions of souls on uncountable worlds and aboard thousands of space-faring fleets. Its organization and governance fell to a myriad of bodies, and though all power stemmed from the Emperor on Terra, decision-making was ultimately devolved due to unreliable nature of communications and logistics over unpredictable spans of time and space. To truly understand the Imperium, one must first understand the underlying conditions and complications inherent to the functions of a galaxy-spanning empire, and the nature of the powerful bodies responsible for the nearly impossible bureaucratic task of maintaining order within it. The Imperial Truth was the rational atheist philosophy that guided the Emperor's conquest of Old Earth and the formation of the Imperium through the Great Crusade. At its heart, the Imperial Truth held that the universe was rational, that knowledge defeated fear and brought freedom from the terrors of the Old Night. With this assertion went the denial of the irrational and the superstitious, as well as the abandoning of faith in powers and principles beyond the knowable. In the unified Terra and Imperium of Mankind, there could be no mysteries of the soul, no sorcery, and no gods. Those who clung to their ignorance were cast down, their lies silenced. If mankind was to survive its rebirth, it could not tolerate the delusions of the past. With a foundation built upon the tenets of the Imperial Truth, mankind achieved greatness, and though it was not destined to last, humanity was briefly elevated in glory to become the dominant species of the galaxy. At the heart of this doctrine of enlightenment was a great but necessary lie. It concealed that the warp is alive with malignant sentience, the very essence of which is supernatural. Indeed, the unquiet spirits which reside in the warp sate themselves upon the souls of mortals. The Emperor hid this truth from his subjects to protect them with the shield of ignorance. But in time, the secret truth behind the lie spread and laid the foundations of the horrors to follow. The warp, also known as the Immaterium, the Sea of Souls, or to the unsane as the Realm of Chaos, is a parallel dimension of exotic energy that coexists with reality as both its reflection and an essence which permeates it invisibly. It is a roiling, howling maelstrom of force and energy, utterly unpredictable and not subject to rational laws such as the linear flow of time. It is a shifting realm, subject to massive vortexes that disrupt its fabric and reverberate across its fathomless depths. Within it dwell strange and terrible inhabitants, and to gaze into the substance of the unfiltered warp is death. Long ago, humanity learned of this realm and how to manipulate it, and found that they could project vessels through its depths and have them emerge quickly into real space across the vast distances that even at light speed would have taken generations to accomplish. Such travel is highly dangerous, and only relatively short jumps, although still many light years in span, can be attempted with any margin of safety in the complex and inconsistent tides of the warp. Ships attempting long journeys often end up wildly off course, lost permanently within the Immaterium's complex weave, or simply shredded to flinders. Furthermore, such vessels may suffer bizarre time shifts, aging their passengers to dust, or arriving years after, or even years before, they had originally planned. Warp storms and other disturbances can also block navigation completely, cutting worlds and sometimes entire regions of space off for days, weeks, or even centuries. During the Age of Strife, massive warp storms shook the entire Imperium, preventing any long-range interstellar navigation for millennia. Psykers are sentient beings who can harness or manipulate the warp. The Emperor is the first and greatest of all human psykers. But there are psychically able people in every human culture and on every world throughout the galaxy. And to every generation, yet more psykers are born. Many of these people possess only minor, apparently harmless talents, and a scant few preternatural power that sets them apart. But regardless of its measure, all psychic abilities come at a price. Some psykers are driven mad by precognitive dreams and visions. Others find their talents uncontrollable and wreak terrible damage on themselves and the people around them. And at worst, becoming living conduits to the warp and its nightmarish denizens. And by doing so, perhaps doom an entire world. Because of this, many psykers are treated as witches and executed or banished into exile. And the Imperium organizes the tithe of the black ships to round them up and control their danger. Stringent testing upon the black ships ensures dangerous psykers can be dealt with permanently, while those more stable are appointed to various imperial organizations under a sanction of strength. The rarest and most powerful find themselves in the employ of secret imperial organizations whose shroud of mystery still holds fast. paradox of the psyker was that while a pressing danger to humanity, their presence was utterly vital to the pursuit of the Great Crusade. On a practical level, this was embodied by the Emperor, and most widely and vitally, by the bloodlines of the navigators who facilitate long-range warp travel, and the astropaths that make interstellar communication possible. The majority of psykers are sent to the Emperor's palace to undergo the soul-binding ritual that renders them into astropaths. These are specially trained and controlled psykers who are capable of communicating with others of their kind through the warp over vast interstellar distances. They enable inhabited worlds, many light years apart in physical terms, to act as one realm, and bind the fledgling Imperium to Terra and its worlds to each other as one domain. Due to the nature of the warp, their messages must be transferred in the form of allegory or metaphorical dreams, and the astropaths and their handlers are responsible for the difficult task of deciphering such communications. At the center of the Great Crusade was the creation of the Astronomicon on Terra. This was a grand choir of astropaths that made the Imperium possible. For it acted as a psychic navigational beacon, a fixed point in the warp that could guide the Imperium's warp-bound vessels safely through the raging depths of the Sea of Souls. The navigators are an ancient, mutated, or perhaps designed, psyker strain of humankind whose very existence facilitates warp travel. Clannish and insular, they have lived amongst humans since before the Age of Strife, and during those nightmarish times dwindled almost to extinction. Their houses gathered to join the Emperor after his conquest of Terra. Psykers of all kinds use the warp to empower their gifts, but only navigators are uniquely adapted to gaze into its depths. Navigators are genetically empowered to see into the warp directly without risking instant insanity or death, and hence can guide a vessel at its attempts to plot a course in that otherworldly dimension. A human ship without a navigator cannot hope to travel far without quickly being lost in the maelstrom and destroyed. Even so, the navigator's natural ability only enables them to chart relatively short journeys through the warp with any degree of certainty, particularly where the Immaterium is in tumult. However, the navigator's range was greatly expanded due to the Astronomicon. Its light cuts through the warp's insane modulations and frequencies, allowing them to use it when plotting journeys to more accurately traverse the void than would ever have been conceivable before. Strong psychers, uncovered in youth, were taken by Space Marine legions to be trained in an attempt to create Space Marine battle psychers. Warriors who would wield terrifying power in the name of all humanity. Many legions supported this so-called Librarius project. In particular, the 15th Legion, the Thousand Sons, whose gene seed granted almost all of its warriors and its Primarch a significant degree of psychic ability. However, some bodies of the Imperium suspected the project to be a fount of dangerous sorcery, and it was feared any misuse of such power could bring calamity down upon the fledgling Imperium. Fears that were supported by the dire histories of Old Night. Over long decades, such suspicions grew until, in the final days of the Great Crusade, the Emperor held court on Nicaea. There, he chose to rule against the continued use of psychic powers within the Legion's Astartes, and pronounced the immediate disbandment of the Librarius across all of the Legions without exception, promising to visit total destruction upon those who dared defy his decision. For the Librarians, particularly amongst the Thousand Sons Legion, this was an intolerable betrayal. Being forced to suppress their psychic senses was akin to having a limb hacked from their bodies. When the Emperor withdrew from the Great Crusade at its height, he returned to Terra to pursue his great work for the salvation of mankind. Some feared he sought godhood or plotted some other unknowable fate for mankind. They even feared he had abandoned the species when he interred himself in the Imperial dungeons. Though none know for sure what this work entailed, nor if it was ever completed, the barest facts of his plan speak of a weakening of the power of the warp, and the eventual removal of humanity's reliance upon it. Malkador the Sigilite was an unfathomably ancient being, said to have been with the Emperor since the earliest days, or even to be his kin. As regent of Terra, Malkador was the overseer of the minutiae of the Imperial governance, a role which only grew as the Emperor secluded himself in his great work, and the Great Crusade expanded the Imperium. It is said that while the Emperor looked to the future of mankind, Malkador safeguarded its present and its past. In doing so, he founded many of the Imperium's institutions and created several organizations, both public and secret, to aid in the effort of preserving mankind's cultures and histories, as well as pruning from that grand heritage any aspect deemed unsavory for remembrance. Amongst the many bodies controlled by the regent were the Remembrancers, Iterators, Assassins, Elucidators, and the Administratum, The Remembrancers were a class of itinerant artists and chroniclers that accompanied the forces of the Great Crusade under license and edict. Following the expeditionary fleets, they recorded what they saw in words, Picts, paintings, sculptures, music, and any number of other modes of expression, in order to immortalize the actions and forces of the Great Crusade. The order died with the onset of the Horse Heresy, and its works were deemed too dangerous to endure, and have since been destroyed, although much is said to remain under a seal of utmost secrecy. The Iterator Order also accompanied the Great Crusade. The task of the Iterators was to promulgate the message of the Imperial Truth on every compliant world ascending to the Imperium, as well as to reinforce the secularity and rationality of its tenets on Imperial worlds and within the Great Crusade's fleets. They were recruited from the most erudite, sharp-witted, and silver-tongued teachers of Terra. Men and women trained to have such a firm belief in the Imperial truth and keen grasp of rhetoric, debate, and diplomacy, that when making their orations, they could smother any arguments contrary of their specific dogma. Dozens of peaceful compliances were achieved thanks in no small part to the work of the Iterators. Though cynics might suggest that it was the threat of the bolters of the Legionnaires Astartes standing at the Iterator sides, which cowed worlds into compliance rather than philosophy, eloquence, and logic. The Order Elucidatum, colloquially known as the Tallymen, or Malkador's secret police, acted in two functions. Openly, as contributors to the bureaucracy of the Great Crusade, and covertly, as iconoclasts, censors, and murderers. In their open capacity, the Elucidators traveled freely among the expeditionary fleets of the Great Crusade, operating as supporting data scribes to the offices of Iterators, future planetary governors, and census takers as a function of the Administratum. This work of the Elucidators was vital, though it was undertaken with an ulterior motive: to gather information for their secret task, the assassination of demagogues, the destruction of proscribed texts, and the suppression of any persons with knowledge of or contact with the manifestations of the warp. The mandate possessed by the Elucidators was underwritten with the seal of the Sigillite, allowing the Tallymen, who were themselves expert and highly specialized warriors, to independently take immediate possession of almost any military command they required to complete their mission. The Order earned a dark reputation for the uncompromising ruthlessness with which they enforced their will, and the atrocities they perpetrated in accomplishing their aims. Upon his retreat to Terra, the Emperor called to his side Malkador and the Imperial Court, and issued them with new commands. No longer were they to support the military campaigns. These were now safely in the hands of the new War Master. Unlike the far-flung members of the War Council, of which Horus was leader, the Council of Terra would attend to the matters of state and the establishment and maintenance of imperial law across the myriad worlds of the Imperium. Where once only conquest and liberation had been the order of the day, the Council of Terra dealt with the consolidation and organization of the Imperium as their priority. Malkador, the Emperor's most trusted advisor, was named as First Lord of the Council and would lead it in the Emperor's absence. And with him, Chief Custodian Constantin Valdor and the leaders of the Astropathic and Administrative Divisions of the Imperium were appointed to the Council. For some of the Primarchs, this seemed a sign that the Emperor was willing to turn his back on his greatest warriors, who had fought and bled tirelessly in his service, and to give power to petty mortal administrators and sycophantic adepts on Mars in their stead. Administrators who could impede the progress of the Great Crusade with their bureaucracy. The Administratum is the core bureaucracy that holds together the Imperium. It was the unimaginably vast organization which acted upon the decrees of the Council of Terra, managing aspects of government as diverse as levying taxes, raising fleets, allocating the division of agricultural resources, and collecting census data across a million worlds. Uncounted billions of minor politicians, scribes, clerks, and administrators were in the employ of the Administratum, their toil greasing the unceasing wheel of Imperium. The Exertus Imperialis was the vast organization of the Imperium's mortal military, comprising billions of second-line and support troops, functionaries, laborers, void crew, logisticians, almoners, adepts, and staff officers, and the countless quantities of weapons, equipment, war machines, void conveyances, and warships they needed. While there were a few million space marines, the untold billions of the Exertus made the Great Crusade a reality. Within this vast body of men and women under arms were many divisions, each created to serve a singular purpose, and each a vital cog in the vast Imperial war machine. These included the highly specialized void troops of the Solar Auxilia regiments, the well-armed and thoroughly trained battalions of the Imperial Army, or Imperialis Auxilia, and the innumerable ad hoc provincial militias raised for planetary defense. The exertus was ultimately the responsibility of the Officio Militaris on Terra. But in practice, their numberless ranks were commanded by the principal agents of the Great Crusade under the War Council, particularly the Primarchs, and almost every significant body of the Great Crusade host, from the navigator houses to the planetary governors, could call upon the Exertus Imperialis to obey them. The Great Crusade was the most ambitious military endeavor ever attempted. It was a campaign fought on worlds without number, across star systems, on expeditions into interplanetary gulfs, and into the entropic darkness of the intergalactic horizon. Conquest of the void was only made possible by the Armada Imperialis, the Imperial Fleet. The Armada comprised countless tens of thousands of warp-capable vessels that transported the Legions Astartes and many billions of Imperial Army soldiers from one star's light to the next, and then supplied them and fought battles at their behest in the void. A staggering array of vessels were constructed, reclaimed, or pressed into service for the fleet. The first vessels to enter the servant of the nascent Imperium were constructed in the orbital foundries of Terra, and later Mars and Saturn, and 100 other worlds. And as the Imperium expanded, so too did its fleets. Each great expeditionary fleet, which pushed outwards into the galaxy, contained hundreds of thousands of vessels. The ships of these fleets were myriad. From singular, recovered wonders of technology to mass-produced void supremacy vessels, from stately galleous engines of doom, their armor concentrated to the fore and their flanks replete with rank upon rank of broadside batteries, to lithe and deadly cruisers and stripped bare warp runners, two watchful frigates and lumbering star fortresses. They were also of innumerable ranges of size, from the smallest Cobra-class destroyer or Helicon-class freighter to the grandest multi-kilometer-long Victorum-class battleships and Mechanicum arcs. Fleets led by Chartist captains were the principal independent trade and supply fleets of the Imperium. Their flotillas of ships were intended to run the gamut of Imperial systems and provide an exchange of provender, material, and other necessary goods on behalf of the Council of Terra. They were granted warrants of passage by the Emperor during the early expansion of the Great Crusade, and often assisted the expeditionary fleets, in whose wake they traveled by securing supply routes, providing news, and transferring orders from central imperial authorities down a chain of messengers to the front lines. Rogue traders, militant, commanded independent flotillas that scouted ahead of the leading edge of the Great Crusade. Accompanied by their own armies, which sometimes included imperial assets. They were tasked with finding uncharted human worlds, or Xenos civilizations, for the expeditionary fleets to deal with in turn. Operating so far ahead of the Emperor's crusading armies, the rogue traders militant could expect little or no aid should they encounter foes too powerful for them to overcome. And so, over time, they fortified, and in the far darkness, made use of esoteric and alien technologies. Many rogue traders were former powerful rulers of worlds conquered by the Emperor. Given the choice to serve in the outer reaches of the galaxy, or to die, these rivals were never allowed to return to the core systems of the Imperium, and many vanished alone and unheralded, slain, consumed, or enslaved by nameless Xenos abominations, far from the light of Terra. The Mechanicum of Mars, which was the spiritual authority over tens of thousands of Forge worlds across the galaxy, was the Imperium's primary manufacturer and maintainer of arms, munitions, vehicles, and warships. Dedicated to working their machines and forges with religious ardor, the lion's share of their output was committed to the furtherance of the Great Crusade. The Mechanicum's leader, Kelbor Howe, the Fabricator General of Mars, held a seat on both the Council of Terra and the War Council, commanding vast authority and power. Under him was a grand synod of Magi, each controlling a Forge world, Macro Forge, Explorator fleet, or a splinter of the Tagmata Omnisia, the armies of the Machine God. Amongst the armies of the Mechanicum were the Titan Legios, which fielded the largest and most impressive war engines in the Imperium, each a mobile weapons platform able to raise a city to rubble. At the feet of the Titans came legions of cyborgs, servitor thralls, tech priests, and programmed automata armed with arcane and esoteric weaponry. In support of the Magi of the Mechanicum were the Skitari hosts, cyber-augmented elite defenders of the Machine God. Also under the aegis of the Mechanicum, though not exclusively bound to it, were the Night Households, ancient feudal bloodlines of aristocratic pilots who rode to war within combat exosuits. In preparation for the reconquest of the galaxy, the Emperor created 20 Primarchs to be his agents of change and lords of war, long before he conquered ancient Terra. These unique individuals, wrought of gene craft and lore beyond understanding of any save the Emperor himself, were his generals, the executors of his will. Great leaders who would conquer uncounted worlds. Each Primarch had powers and skills beyond those of any other human. Abilities rivaling those of the Emperor himself, for they were his sons and shared his brilliance, charisma, intelligence, and radiant glory. Furthermore, no two were alike. Each embodied a different facet of the Emperor's character, and had their own preference for warfare. Together, united with the Emperor and with the legions at their command, they made for a force unseen and unequaled in the annals of human history. But the Emperor's ambitions for the Primarchs appeared to be thwarted by a cataclysmic event, the true nature and scope of which has never been revealed. Some unknown force snatched the still fetal Primarchs from the Emperor's care and flung them in scattered disarray across the galaxy. Each Primarch was cast onto a separate world, where he matured in circumstances good or ill, as fate or perhaps some other agency decreed. As the years passed, each Primarch came into maturity beyond the Emperor's guidance. Each a superhuman far beyond the power and ability of those around them. Some came to dominate their surrogate worlds, becoming powerful warriors and leaders. Others were transformed by predilection or circumstance into shadowed monsters of legend. Over the course of the Great Crusade, the Emperor was reunited with each Primarch in turn, and each was placed in command of one of the Space Marine Legions. And their authority was second only to the Emperor himself. At the close of the Great Crusade, each of the 18 remaining Primarchs was steeped in glory and was proven a master of strategy, having conquered vast swaths of space in the Emperor's name. Named War Master at the Triumph of Ulanor, Horus was the Emperor's most successful, most charismatic, and most respected son. It was the greatest shock to the Imperium that he would turn his back on the Emperor. However, the stirrings of discontent were evident even in the years before his secession. With his actions cloaked in whim and the long tradition of military patronage and honor, he laid many seeds that would draw no suspicion under his lawful authority as War Master. Horus used his power to influence the stockpiling of munitions, showing preferential treatment to commanders who favored him, and established trade pacts, patronage, and treaties with allies in which he placed the greatest trust. Others, ancient regiments and knight households, which he could not rely upon, were unmade upon the anvil of war. The legions of his rival brothers, whom he envied or feared, he sent to the furthest corners of the galaxy, such that they could not disrupt his power. Some of this was, no doubt, the workings of a general without peer, seeking only to further the Great Crusade, establishing appropriate contingencies, and rewarding those who fought hard in his name. However, that so many such factors would later see him ideally placed to instigate the greatest treachery the human race has yet known is beyond coincidence. Horus had, perhaps, long plotted ascendancy in the darkest corners of his mind. Even if he never planned to act upon those desires until fateful events conspired to bring them to terrible fruition.